In today's show, we celebrate our 200th episode, and it's a little bit more light-hearted, where we get a number of boomers and Gen X in the room and we discuss what do we think about today's world.
And now, the TNT Talk Show, daring to go where other podcasts fear to.
Hello, I'm Tony Fasulo, and I share the stage with my esteemed friend and colleague, Tayo Boya. Tayo, hello, my friend, once again. I hope you're keeping safe and well.
Yeah, what the hell, Tony? What you gonna do, eh?
Come on, this is our 200th show.
Oh, it is, it
yes.
is. Oh, okay.
On. Say hi to our audience.
No, no, seriously, 200 shows on. I think it's time to celebrate. No.
Nothing changes. Come exactly. on, we've managed to last this long without killing
that,
each other.
That part I'm happy about. The part about they were saying hello to the same people who don't like me very much, they much prefer Tony. Well, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not going to pretend. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we have an audience, but there's no pretense from here. So let's just carry on. Let's not waste time. We've got wonderful guests with us.
We have. Our listening audience obviously don't know that, but we have a number of guests with us this evening. So our wonderful guests, if they could reveal themselves to our watching audience, and I will introduce them individually. Now, some are struggling to come on screen. All will be revealed in their name of how I introduce them. And first off, we've got the wonderful Stuart Moore, who's been on our show before, and we welcome him back. We love having him on, so we've invited him back. And as you know, he has many strings to his bow, but he wants to be introduced today as somebody who leaves any tech to somebody else. Purely because he can't work it himself. Isn't that right,
Stuart? Absolutely. And congrats on the 200 show, guys. Really good.
Thank you. And welcome to our show. Next, we have Gary Liebird. Hi, Gary, who also wants to be referred to as a technology imbecile. I think that's
I've
rather hard.
I've explained that already. See, I couldn't even get on. Goodness sake.
But you're here, Gary. Welcome to our show.
Welcome, Gary.
Thank you very much indeed.
And finally, we have the youngster in the crew.
Absolute baby.
He doesn't look it, of course. The one and only Mr. Lee Crowhurst, who is the madman of radio. Welcome again, Lee, to our show.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome back.
Indeed. No, today's show is slightly different to our normal confrontational show. We've invited all these guests because, as it's our 200th show, we're going to have a bit of fun. We're all five old'uns here, and we're all hopefully going to put the world to rights and cover different topics. But to make it a little bit more interesting on what we're going to talk about, I actually have a wheel of fortune, so to speak, which I'm going to share with the guys here so they can see what it is. And we're going to then spin the wheel in order to select our first topic. Now, I hope you can all see the wheel behind me. Yes, please nod heads if you can. Cool. Yep. And we're going to spin it. I hope we even hear the spinning wheel. Here we go. It's falling on a particular topic. Oh! And it's landed on food!
Yeah, really?
Food?
Food? Food! Modern day!
There's nothing wrong with modern food, apart from the fact that it occasionally gives me explosive diarrhea, but I think that's my problem rather than...
Okay, let me start it off then. Do we notice any difference in the food that we consume today compared to in our youth?
Yes.
Chocolate. Definitely. It's got smaller.
Sure. Chocolate's got smaller.
Yeah. Don't you remember? When you used to go to the shops, you used to have marathons. Do you remember marathons?
Yes. Mm. What was the new name now?
Snickers.
That's right. Marathon's the old name.
That big. No, literally.
You'll need to describe it for our listening audience.
Well, that's... Would that, I was going to say, do we do metric in the, on this show or imperial?
You can do whatever you like.
6 inches down to about 4.5. They're so small. They're like the mini ones you used to get in the packs.
I don't think I'm joking on that one.
Yeah, go on, say whatever you like. No,
we're not talking about women's parking here. That's me cancelled off the radio.
anything more other than the size of some
Yes,
bars?
I've got a beef with, well, is it a beef? It is a beef.
Yes,
who remembers the wonderful fish and chips that we used to be able to get so easily on Street Corners?
Well,
used to get these wonderful fish and chips. Even when I go and get fish and chips now, it's somehow, it's just not the same. I don't know what they've done. Maybe it's gotten healthier in apostrophes or something. It's just not the same. I remember just going into, you know, from pub, shop, fish and chips, home, and delicious. And now it's just not the same thing. And not to mention it costs, there's kind of different cost to it now.
Are you sure you're not looking at this through rose tinted?
No, I was a student. I could afford it. as a student, I could afford fish and chips. Now, as a working adult, it's not cheap.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. The food has changed because growing up, I do remember we had nothing other than fish and chips. Now you've got a plethora of choices of any denomination from any country, really, let's be honest. And you even get it delivered to your door. Whether the quality is better is debatable, but the choice is far more, isn't it?
Come on.
You can agree with that.
I believe in those days, didn't you? I mean, I wasn't here. I was from the ages of 3. I was living in Malaysia until I was 17. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you in those days be able to walk into a chip shop and order a bag of scrumps or scraps?
Yeah.
What, scraps?
And get them for nothing?
What's you scraps? Don't know, Tony.
No, I don't even know.
Well, no, nobody used to get them for nothing, but you could get the scraps at a far cheaper rate than...
Was it scraps or scrumps?
I don't know. Depending on the country where you were from, really.
I think it was just the messed up batter, wasn't it?
The messed up batter. You could just get the messed up batter, yes. And there were... I don't know, was it like a penny or something back in the old days?
That's right, yeah.
Was like a penny. And it was equally delicious. It's just that I didn't get, you know, the fish. As a child, I didn't really mind. I preferred the batter in the first place.
So what are we saying then? That was pure cooking oil in a bag?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what you're buying?
Batter with grease. Here's one for the actual people here. What about home cooking? We seem to have gone away from traditional home-cooked meals. My mother was always in the kitchen trying to attempt to cook something, but nowadays it's all microwaves or takeouts, and the average person, they reckon, has at least 3 takeouts a week, which in our day we used to have 1 a month if we were lucky.
Well, that's why we've got an obesity epidemic, and people are getting heart attacks.
You know, I thought you were going to say that's why we've got a wife. But okay, fair enough. Fair enough. If you're not going in that direction.
Well, I don't want to pour cooking oil on your arguments, but we were in Malaya. My mother never cooked.
Oh, wow.
You had a cook, wouldn't you? Have had a cook.
We had a cook.
Cheating. That's cheating. Anyway, have we got any other topic or anything to mention regarding food? Because I think it's the least sort of debatable.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, what people are cooking nowadays and eating nowadays basically is garbage.
It is.
And this is going to roll on in the next 10 to 15 years, and you're going to get a, as I think Lee said, massive obesity problem.
Well, we've got it already.
Massive illness, cholesterol problems, and God knows what else.
It's already here, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a big war against diabetes, which costs 10% of the national health budget.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but when you consider that most of the research is done by the pharmaceutical companies on obesity and food, it sort of makes you wonder exactly whose interests they got in mind. Because obviously all the money involved, they're not exactly going to go out and say, stop eating sugar tomorrow, are they?
Well, no. You've got to consider that 80% of the beds in hospitals are filled with people with diabetes.
Yeah.
What percent?
Sorry?
What percentage did you say?
80%.
80%.
Yeah, of people that are in hospital had a diabetic problem, and a dietary problem. They might be ill. They might be ill in there for another illness or something, but they do have, because they examine them and they test them, and that shows.
It says it on
all the NHS stuff.
Can I sort of jump in on this particular subject? I'm quite informed on it because I'm an actual qualified weight loss mentor, would you believe? So I do know a little bit about diet.
And he's in the hair replacement business.
No, not that one. Indeed. But yes, we have got an obesity epidemic in the UK, which has sort of morphed across from the States. We've taken up a lot of their habits. Mm. And the problem is we have an infestation of sugar in practically every food source that we consume. Everything that's got us on a shelf have got some additive added to it, and particularly sugar, to increase the shelf life for the profitability angle. And as Lee already alluded to, we cook from fresh less and less, because our body has a way of regulating itself. It can do it naturally. It has done.
Oh, let's not go off on one of your health things, okay?
I'm going to say, I've got to say
we've got, no, we've got,
it.
No,
it can regulate itself. Come on. Yeah. But the food that we consume is rubbish.
This is why we don't like our minute about Gen X. Is it Gen X people? Health, they're always on the downer. Look, we're having a good show. We're going to have a couple of laughs. Yeah, Yabu and sucks to you.
All right, Yabu sucks. Eat what you like.
I was just going to say to Teo, shall we mention pineapple on pizza for Teo?
Oh, don't go there.
By the way, I'll tell you what is interesting about food and diet. Have you heard that? I don't know how to work this out, but apparently our food now is less tasty than it was about 100 years ago.
How can you tell that?
But what I want to know. That's what it's like. How can they tell? What? But that's what the so-called scientists, the so-called buffoons say.
That do you know?
People to ask.
Do you know that they actually have food locked away from decades and decades ago?
They have it locked away. On that, Tony, my granddad was a food scientist, and he was actually one that invented or partly was responsible for barcodes and the breakdowns on jars. And he said that there is food that is still edible 100 years later.
Exactly. Really?
Because way it's processed and then sealed, it doesn't actually decompose.
Absolutely.
My father there's food they've got in food quite a lot.
Mm.
He was a rear gunner on a fish and chip van in Liverpool.
Hold on. I can't gel the two things. I thought you were in Malaysia when you were three. You were three. So that's a bit of a commute, I think, to be saying.
Toyo, I just mentioned that was a joke, you know.
I beg your pardon. I didn't hear you. Just because I was like, hang on.
RAF, a rear gunner on a milk float or a fish and chip bar.
Oh, I see. Right. I was like, eh?
Very good. Yeah, anyway, come on. Let's move on to another topic.
Why isn't the advances of technology supported better food diets? Because we're looking today, we've got air fryers, we've got microwave ovens, we've got conductor ovens, etc., all sorts of things. So why hasn't the advance in technology improved what we actually put in our gobs in the first instance?
There's a natural part of the process that's missing, and they've had to industrialize that missing part of the process.
Which
women in the kitchen.
You're on your own on that one, Tao.
Is that a time I'm missing?
Is it false? Am I wrong? Put the women back in the kitchen. They're in the natural place. You're going to start making good sandwiches and stuff. You're not going to need these industrialized food processes. But when you're industrializing food, you're just trying to make a profit. You don't want to kill the customer, obviously. But it's a bit like cigarettes. If you can stretch it out for about 4 or 5 decades, it's fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the strange is he's actually got an element of truth in that statement, regardless of the way he's framed it. But anyway.
I'd like to see him say it in front of 500 women.
Well,
you assemble 500 women, and I promise on air, here in front of you all, I promise I'll come there and say it, because that's what makes us men. We defend the truth.
Oh dear!
I'll come and say it.
I'm not
just
so sure about that one. Anyway, let's move on to another topic. Right, I'm going to share my screen once again, so we get this.
Nothing to do with women, for God's sake.
No, please. Spin the wheel. Here we go. Can you see my wheel? And we've lost the food one because we've already discussed it. Let's see what we can talk about next.
This truly is high technology.
This is high technology. Here we go. Here we go. And it's going to stop on Way of Life.
Way of Life.
Interesting.
Way of Life.
Okay. So basically this one, I suspect, is the Way of Life. How does the Way of Life compare today to when we were growing up in the 60s, or in Lee's case, early 70s?
Well,
earlier than the 60s.
Well, TV sucks for a start.
What now?
Yeah.
We remember, have a thousand channels of nothing
remember,
to watch.
Do you remember, Mission Impossible? Mannix, yeah. If you were my age at that time, do you remember things like Captain Scarlet? Do you remember Thunderbirds? I can reel off a whole bunch of shows. Well, recently, I mean, after Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was a bit of a guilty pleasure back in the, what was it, 80s, I think? No, 90s, I think, Buffy. Yeah. After that, and after, is this Serenity or the...
Yeah, but you weren't a youngster in the 80s and 90s, mate.
No. Well, what did they have in the 80s and 90s? I was prepared to sit down and watch, but there was nothing to watch. I mean, it wasn't as bad as it is now, but in the last 10, 15, 20 years, I mean, now, it's unwatchable.
Why is it unwatchable? How much of kids' programs have you watched?
It's all rainbow stuff now. It's all rainbow stuff, okay? And I think we know what I mean by that euphemism.
Malaysia, we didn't have TV. The country didn't have television when we were
kids. You just went out and played and had fun.
Yeah. Climbed trees, rode bikes, stole cars. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that.
I was going to say, did they have cars?
We wouldn't sit in and watch television.
They're not that old, Lee. Come on. Seriously, growing up, you in the past, I don't know if you remember, but I remember going out and my parents didn't know where I was from dusk till dawn, because I'd be out playing with friends and whatever, and they hoped, and that's all they had, that I'd turn up. Nowadays, it's fighting to get
them out. Did they tell you that, by the way, that they hoped you'd turn up?
I bet they wrapped his sandwiches when he went to school in a map.
No, but you think about it, you're out, they've got no way of communicating with you. You've got no way of communicating with them. You'd go off and do stuff, and you'd go out with friends, and you'd be there for all day, especially in the summer months, and you wouldn't show up until it got dark, but they hoped that you'd come back. And
These days you've got social media. What more do you need to sit on the screen for hours upon hours and just tick people's likes and profiles and all the rest of it? And I think that when we were sort of teenagers, it was a lot simpler. Life was just so much simpler that everything now has to be complicated. No matter what you do or what you say, it's got to be complicated. Somebody's there to... make it more difficult for everything has to be difficult. You set up a company, it becomes difficult. You write something on social media, it becomes difficult. Computers, I mean, I got a new version of Excel on my work laptop, and it's completely different to 2 years ago. And it's like, why has everything got to be difficult?
called updates,
mate.
Yeah.
Stuart, I'll pass my laptop over to you. You can show me, mate.
I'll show it to somebody that I know that does my tech.
That's Teo.
What's this?
No. Does Windows 7 not work anymore?
The Windows 7? Oh, Gary.
Windows 2000 was still the best ever Windows, by the way, but that's a different argument. Social media is a blessing. I've got it down here
as a blessing. Okay.
It's a blessing and it's three curses. So it's one blessing and three curses. Curse number one is that that's a blessing. That's not a blooming curse. It's two blessings and two curses. So it's a curse because it has accelerated I think that's a point that Lee may have been making, has accelerated narcissism and mental health issues. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to have a go at women, don't worry, but I understand that the way that girls use social media can be injurious to their health because they always compare themselves to others. And a lot of these other girls are comparing themselves to, of course, have been photoshopped and things like that. So it really doesn't make a great deal of sense. So they've got this unrealistic expectation, and they try to live up to that unrealistic expectation. And if they can, they become narcissistic about it. And if they can't, they get mental health issues about it. So that's actually damaging an entire generation, a younger generation, or one particular gender. And it might be the same for boys, but I haven't read anything about that. Then it enables, if you think about it, censorship.
So are you saying, Tayo, that you're using technology in this day and age to serve sights of young girls?
No, I'm not. I don't know where you got that from. No, I'm not.
From what you just said, because you said you've only done girls.
I've only got the data. I've only got what I was reading about was data taking about girls. I didn't see any data about boys suffering from this particular.
Oh no, the boys are terrible as well.
Yeah, suicide rates up.
They are.
Yeah.
Is that because the
suicide themselves? Rate in this country is young boys? A lot of them are influenced by by stuff they see on social media.
Boy, give me for instance.
Because let's face it, it's not controllable.
No.
How do you control it?
What are they seeing? My question then is, what are they seeing? What are they talking? I can understand why the girls would compare themselves and understand it, but what are boys seeing? I can't imagine. What is the problem? What are they upset about?
I think
get rejection from girls.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Yeah,
narcissistic things on there.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. Remember when we were growing up? If you wanted to talk to a girl, you had to pluck up the courage and physically walk up to them somewhere. Could be a dance hall, could be a disco, could be a school, could be a college. You had to pluck up the courage and go and walk up to them and talk to them so they could see you face to face. You got that connection, whether it works or not. You land on your face most of the time. You got the walk of shame and because you get rejected. And this happened a lot.
You speak for yourself, mate.
I know what you're talking about, pal. Don't worry.
But now it's all technology based. They don't know how to talk to each other. They'd rather, you know, swipe left, swipe right, and things like that, and it's sending a text. And the art of communication has been lost. Social media has compounded that. So if there's a kid now who knows how to talk, he's got a superpower compared to everybody else, because none of the other kids know how to talk. They grunt.
Are you sure it's
machines? Yeah, it's.
Are you sure it's boys who are killing themselves or young men? Young men, not boys.
But you're talking 18 plus. They're still young.
No, I'm talking about when I talk about girls with narcissism and mental health issues. I'm talking about just in their teens, post-pubescent. They just enter pubescence, and then from about that age, when they become aware of themselves as girls, as opposed to boys. From that age on, if they've got smartphones and things, it can be a problem for them. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, a blessing of social media is it serves as a pustule that people can get involved. Well, you know, a boil. We sublimate our rage. You know, as proles, as people without any political power or any means of power. We can go onto social media and we can vent. And it is entirely possible that all this venting has weakened the spine of society to actually stand up and do something about these horrible politicians we've got. So
how have you jumped from social media to post?
That's what I'm saying. That's a blessing. I'm saying that in that it could be seen as a blessing that we've got somewhere to vent. In the old days, if you wanted to vent, there was no one to vent to. You actually got yourself a banner and went and stood on the side of the street and you needed to vent. Now you can go on social media and you can vent to hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people.
Do you know what? I completely got the wrong end of the stick there. I thought when you were talking about releasing that pent-up aggression or whatever it may be, it meant sneaking to the you know, the news agents and trying to buy a magazine from the top shelf. Now you can get it all online. I
mean, you got to get your mind out of the gutter, and it's not talking about anything like that at all. I'm saying that we can, that people vent on social media, and possibly because they've vented, the will to actually effect change isn't there.
Yeah, but Teo, don't you think by venting online, then you create your a sort of spiral effect, because then you're going to get the trolls that jump on you venting by saying the wrong thing to the wrong person, and away it goes. It just makes the situation worse.
I'm sure Lee's right. Yeah, go on, Gary. Go on.
No, I definitely think it's a curse. I mean, people hide behind it, don't they? It's easy to you know, post something anonymously, invisibly, and say what you want about an individual or a group, and then you disappear into the ether. But you've left a trail of devastation behind you.
Absolutely.
I think it's a curse.
No, absolutely.
So why don't we do like they do in the Middle East? I spent 15 years working in the Middle East, and a lot of these problems that you get on the internet, you don't get here, particularly on the social media side, you don't get in the Middle East. It's all blocked.
How is it blocked?
I don't know. You could say they chop their hands off, but they...
You know, if, yeah.
I did
10 years in Dubai, and very often there are things that you search for and are relating around this kind of social media mix that the government have, just a big screen comes up and saying this is not within the religious living, or what was the statement? It was a big red circle that says this is outside of the countries of our religious
and ethical standards, or
that kind of stuff,
mores, or something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So you can't access it. Well, the only way you can get it is to get a VPN.
Exactly.
Circumvent.
And do it that way. It can be controlled. I mean, all these dating sites and that kind of stuff can be controlled. And if you get people venting really bad, harmful stuff, it's easy for the companies to chop them immediately.
But then we're treading on the toes of freedom. How do we want the authorities to control us to a point where we start to squirm? I mean, Tayo's an advocate of free speech.
I'm a free speech absolutist, yes.
To abuse the system.
Yeah,
when you're given anything, you use it within the right intent. You don't go out and out to misuse it.
No, but
who decides what is the right intent? Yeah. For instance, myself, I'll let you say basically anything you want to say if you're not actually advocating violence. If you're not saying let's go out and kill all the N-word people, which is advocating violence. If you say I hate N-word people, you've got every single right to say that, in my opinion. I'm actually in regular conversation with people who start off that way. And if I just shut them down, I just said you can't say that, then I just ignore it and just keep focused on the argument, on the discussion, and you stay positive.
So we have to manage ourselves more responsibility. Responsibility.
Just behave any way you want to behave. If you don't cross a certain line, and that line should be when you're advocating
violence.
At that point, you've crossed the line, and that right now is against the law. It was against the law for a long time. Apart from that, you can basically say anything you want.
Isn't that what we're chasing Trump over?
Sorry,
yeah, which is incorrect.
Did he not cross the line by inciting violence?
Absolutely did not, because I actually listened to what he said. I don't know if you did. If you remember when he said, when you go up, you can go up to the Capitol Hill, but do not, he said, break the law. Now, he said that.
I absolves him from all responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fine line. That absolves him from all responsibility.
Why does it absolve him? He's told you how to break the law. Now, if you break the law, you can't still blame him.
Well, there is circumstantial evidence as well.
That's the other thing I hate about modern society. Nobody takes responsibility for their own actions. They're always blaming someone else. Oh, Trump told me to do it. Oh, this. Oh, that. Look, my friend, you did it.
So you're saying, therefore, that someone, and we've digressed slightly from the topic, but it's still worth considering. Are you saying, therefore, that someone cannot incite others?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he can. But Trump didn't do it by saying, don't break the law. I mean, don't break the law.
Go up to
the Capitol Hill.
Hill.
And it's your right as a citizen. It's like me saying to Tony, let's go up to, on our show. Let's go to London. Let's march up to Parliament and let's make ourselves, our voices heard.
Something with pitchfork and a burning flame, you said.
Oh, that's what I say. But that's what I say on. But I'm not Trump, am I? And what? And I never exactly say what to do.
Pitchforks from? I've often wondered.
I'm the one asking you. I said, where did you get pitchforks from? I'm burning torches. I have no idea. I wish I did know, by the way.
Don't encourage him, please.
That's me done. That's my little.
Okay, we touched on social media and the negative elements of it. Are there any positives about social media at all?
Social media or the way of life?
Well, way of life and social media, because we've mixed the two in a way.
Apparently, it's easier to get sex now. I'm not getting more sex. I'm talking to wife. Well, you can tell. Like, I'm not getting it anymore. But
she's okay with me, mate. What's the matter with you?
Well, she's kept that on the QT. I can tell you that. And now I've got this recording. I think after this show, she's going to have some questions to answer.
I was going to ask you how your wife and my three children are, but I won't now.
Don't worry about it. My solicitors will be in touch. I just make money out of this stuff.
Okay. No. Let's move on.
Sex is freer, isn't it?
Sex is free.
Yeah, well, freer. Freer now. It was a bit of a palaver when we were young. I think now it's less of a palaver, isn't it?
So that's got to be sex. Is it relationships? Isn't relationships a more apt way?
Is that way of phrasing it? Because obviously sex doesn't exist in this generation, does it? It's
Don't ask me, mate. I've been married 4.5 times and I never met anybody online.
So what is that about relationships you were saying, Lee?
I was saying that basically the way sex is defined at the moment comes back to gender. And obviously we've then got the
issue of
what you define as a woman. But we won't go into that because obviously that's a whole different show, isn't it?
Well, strangely enough, we do have a topic on the board. Yeah we have one on there.
What, Gary?
It is one of the topics on the spinning wheel.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I think 10%. I don't know what percentage of there's a certain percentage of males who don't get any whatsoever, and they're called incels. Involuntarily celibate. They're called incels, and they can't get
it because they can't get it, or they choose not to have
they
it.
They can't. They can't get
they
it.
They can't get it.
They want it, but they can't get it.
Right. You can pay for it, you know.
Well, they don't want to pay for it. They see there's been immoral or, you know, or throwing in the chips or something. They don't leave their homes. A lot of these people have got mental health issues. They can't even leave home to go and talk. They can't talk to people. Like you were saying, weren't you saying that they can't communicate?
Yeah.
I teach one-to-one now. And a couple of my students, they've got issues with actually just communicate. Just looking someone in the eye is a problem.
Well, think about it. Think about it logically. We all have these devices in our pocket. They don't talk back to us. Kids nowadays, they live on them. So what communication do they need? They're typing, but they're not speaking. So the speaking skill has been lost.
That's amazing.
It has. It's not getting developed in the youth of today because they are spending the majority of their time in front of a device or a computer screen even that doesn't talk back to them.
But you can have it talking back to you on your mobile.
Yeah, you can, but it's a one-way street and it's an AI, isn't it? It's not a real... I mean, how many people actually make a phone call? They'd rather text or send a quick message. It's simpler. Yes. Rather than pick up the phone and actually dial and talk to somebody, they don't do that. My son's a case in point. They're both in their 20s, but they'd rather send a text.
Here's a prime example for everyone that's listening is that you go to a restaurant and sit down with your partner and just look round at any, I would say, under 12 year old, and they're on a laptop, they're on some sort of iPad or laptop or phone. And literally, because they won't actually talk to the children, they're just given the phone to watch videos.
Yeah.
So that's setting the standard that communication skills are going to be off the table completely in the future generations, if that's the way we're actually going, whereby you just literally communicate through technology.
Now, look at the Japanese. They've got a particular problem with this sort of thing, haven't they? Where they've actually, their solutions are always technological. Every single problem they face, they try to solve with technology. So now, rather than getting men and women together to sit down and actually speak to one another, which I think would be a start, what they're actually doing is developing robots that will take the place of a human.
Wow.
And to make it as realistic, those robots as realistic as possible, which is how's that going to work? You know, so you've got all these.
There are some advantages of that, because you've now got a robot at your beck and call. Any sexual desire will be fulfilled.
It's about companionship. So they're developing robots and AI that can have this. The people can form a relationship with this robot rather than form a relationship with a human. That is maybe it explains to some degree why their villages are emptying out. There's this big thing about how many villages in Japan are dying because the only people who are left there are octogenarians. And when they're gone, the village, that's it. In the village, no but one's
there's
left.
A positive with technology, though. Because even today, and that's happening in the UK as well, a lot of older people who are living alone are being given an Alexa or equivalent, a Google equivalent, because they can talk to it. Even though it's an AI device, it talks back. So they don't feel that they're on their own. They have the TV on. They have a device there that they can talk to. So there's a positive there. Then the robot is just the next stage of that development. So there are positives to having a robot. Granted, it's not as good as having an individual human to talk to. But then there's cases, as you've already alluded to. Yes. But we've touched on it on a previous show. With all this technology, will there still be the need to have relationships?
Well,
that's a question.
Anyway. About not having someone to speak to, it's like when someone said, would I join this charity or whatever it was? This was in 2015. Would I join this charity? And then during Christmas or some whatever, we'd go around and we'd visit all the lonely people. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why doesn't your charity just put all these lonely people together?
Well, it's maybe just, not possible. So it sounds...
No, you said you got Alexa. So, okay. So you put them all on the network and they're permanently hooked up to other people who are lonely. You won't be lonely any longer. Mm-hmm.
Set up Zoom in everybody's house and make it easy to the work. Yeah, that's certainly an idea. Maybe you should float that. It's quite an interesting...
Well, I did in 2015. Nothing has happened.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's me done.
Anyway, we were touching on this topic. We were talking about way of life. Do anything else? Because we've not really touched on the way of life that we remember in the past. I mean, did we get rides to school, or did we have to walk or ride a bike?
Well, I certainly walked.
Yeah.
We rode a bike.
Exactly. So nowadays, how many people are taking their kids to school?
Too many.
Yeah. Why?
In London at the moment, they've got this school road system that's just been implemented. At the top of my aunt's road, between the hours of 8 and 9, if you drive down the road where the school is, you get £100 fine.
Whoa.
And literally, they've got people at the end of both these roads, and you cannot go down it. You can drive down it if you want, but you get £100 fine instantly. You have to actually park one of the side streets and walk.
Now, is that good or bad, Lee? What do you think?
I think it's bonkers. I pay my road tax. If I want to drive down the road, I drive down the road. Why should I get £100 fine just for driving past the school when I'm being sensible?
But
I do agree that when you go past the school and obviously it's dropping off time, it is an absolute nightmare.
You wouldn't want to go down there. Yeah.
No. Well, hang on there. Using a bit of common sense, wouldn't it be that, yes, you can drive down that road, Lee, but if you stop, we'll have you on camera stopped, and anybody getting in and out of your car like kids is the £100 fine.
I think they should have done it that way.
Kids off, and they could do that, got to think of the residents around the school as well. They've probably been there longer than the school. But you could implement that with the roads around the school so the kids have got to walk, let's say, half a mile.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, you can put everybody on the street corner with a camera. You can come along.
Nothing.
You can flag you down and you say,
for today's generation, you're having a laugh.
Yeah, so
why don't you have...
You said it so far, yeah.
Why don't you have a system where people can drive up to the school, drop their kids off, cause inconvenience, and then other people plan their route so that they don't go past the school at that particular time. Because I have to take my wife to work in the mornings, and I have to plan my route so that I don't go the way of the school. There are two routes. I get to a junction. If I turn right, I go to the school. If I go around and come back, I miss the school. Duh. Everyone's happy. I go around because it takes me an extra 3 minutes. I can live with that. And then the people who are dropping off their kids, it's not as if it wants to, it's that they have to.
Yeah, why do they have to?
Why have you got to take your 4x4 10 sort of minutes down the road and sit outside the school trying to find a parking space, generating all that pollution?
I'm glad you asked. Not everyone was Mr. Fasulo's parents who sent him out every day. I was kind of like, we don't make it back. We had fun. Yeah, boom, bada boom, bada bing. We'll see you later. It was a lot of people want to have their kids back safe and sound. They'll drop them off and they'll pick them up.
You don't need a 4x4 to go down 10 minutes down the road to drop your kid off.
No.
10 minutes is quite a long walk, man. 10 minutes in a 4x4.
Well, that's why we've got the obesity problem, because no one walks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a long walk.
That's not tired.
10 minutes in a car.
But you're not going straight. You're mostly stopping in traffic anyways. It's not genuinely a 10-minute drive.
It sounds like 2-3 miles, man. An hour. Sorry?
Yeah, 60 miles an hour is unlikely.
60 miles an hour, are you?
No, you're not.
What? 30 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone.
No, you're not doing 30 in a 30.
Listen, the average travelling this time in London, across London, is 4.6 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got
10 minutes. 10 minutes is, I think Gary said it, half a mile.
Yeah.
If that.
I wouldn't put my kid in a car for a half a mile drive. I'm doing it.
I've heard of women and men that have driven their kids to school less than 5 minutes from their house.
Yeah,
and driven them there in their pajamas, for God's sake.
Yeah, see that all the time. I mean, if we go back to talk about the way of life, does that then mean perhaps that our generation and the way of life that we had, we are putting more fear into the generation today? Because we were, as we've already alluded to, we were all quite happy to walk to school. Our parents were more than happy to allow us to walk to school or cycle. Is our generation now putting the fear in youngsters today that it isn't safe to walk to school? It isn't safe to be on your bikes, etc.
There's an element of truth there, Gary. Yeah, spot on. Because there's a misconceived perception from a lot of parents. Oh my God, there's a paedophile on the street corner and all that. In reality, it doesn't stack up at all.
That's right.
And the media's built it up as well, the press and all the rest. Because if there is one, they're built up and it becomes in our front of our consciousness. So we think they're everywhere, when in reality, they're actually far, far less situations where that occurs. So, but the mindset of people is to think, oh my God, my little Jimmy is going to be attacked, whereas the likelihood and the stats don't add up. But you cannot replace that fear in parents in their mind. So they're going to still want to drive little Jimmy 5 minutes up the road.
That's down to the law, because they say a high percentage of paedophiles that are released early or are unknown or are out there are likely to reoffend. Now, quite honestly, I would rather everybody take their kids to school on a 4x4. I don't give a damn about the traffic. I wouldn't want one child to be lifted or accosted by a paedophile. But why is a paedophile on the street?
Mm.
Why isn't he banged up for like 30 years?
Or chemically neutered.
Chemically neutered,
or even better yet, why don't we just, like, Tony knows what my favorite solution is. What's my favorite solution, Tony?
Off with his head.
Yeah. Look, it was fast. it was very fast, very effective. Nobody ever saw hanging around afterwards. None of this nonsense about... Him. Sorry? Yeah.
For £1.50, you could shoot him.
Well, you mean back of the head, like good old Chinese do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then charge the family for the bullet.
But the thing is, they don't want to. I mean, going back to the firing squad, why did you have more than one?
More than one what?
A fire and a firing squad.
So they don't know who actually did the killing.
Exactly. So you'd have to do something like that. But the
that's
problem.
Not difficult.
Well, the problem we're supposed to be more humane.
What does Stuart want to say? Go on, Stuart.
I was saying that's not difficult. I can put easily three people together to shoot a paedophile. I'm one of them. I'm sure Toyo is another.
I don't like shooting. I guillotine. I'll press the button that brings the guillotine down.
That's a lot of money, mate. We've got the guns. Just do the shelling it for the trigger.
I like the way the boomers are. How do we kill pedophiles? Not do we kill them? No. It's how. The nitty-gritty.
No. We're more humane now. We don't have to go down those routes. Because even I'd rather have. I know it's going to cost to us, but we're not in the game of revenge. We want justice.
Yes, we are.
Speak
for yourself.
Yes, revenge is not the way forward for a society that is supposed to be forward thinking. We don't go back to revenge.
Well, forward thinking society, your children should be able to walk to school. That's a truly forward thinking society.
They should, but killing people, seriously?
Well, it kind of works, man, because what they do is children can walk to school.
Would you yourself, look someone in the eye?
I would,
shoot
actually.
Them?
No, I told you I don't like guns.
I've not had children, but I do know a lot of my friends have had children. So. Mm. I can't, and some of those friends, I'm very close to their children. I've babysat them and so on. My God, if I had a child that was sexually molested by anybody, I would gladly execute them, hold my hands up and said, yeah, I found him, I shot him, I killed him, I'll do the time.
Vigilantism, is that
while I'm in prison?
I agree, because it stirs up emotions, doesn't it?
I'll do an MBA again, I'll do a degree again, and I'd write a book. I thoroughly enjoy myself. And three square meals a day, shower every day. Hey, what's not to like?
That's nothing. Nothing. Well, we have to fix our prisons, man. Like I say, bread and water and hard labor. That too, okay? Minimum jail sentences. I've said it before on our shows. Yeah. You don't do a maximum jail sentence. You do a minimum jail sentence. So when we say you're going to prison for 7 years, we're saying you're going to prison for a minimum of 7 years. And based on your good behavior, you can come out in 7 years. But every time there's an infraction of the rules in prison, you get to stay longer. So you can go for 7 years and then spend the rest of your life there because you just can't toe the party line, which proves that you can't actually live in society.
Yeah, that's actually quite good.
I'll talk to you about prison service another day.
Yeah, because Lee's...
Unbeknown to you, I work on the back end of the parole office.
Oh, wow. I bet you got stories.
About that subject. We're doing a whole thing on that and how it's all imploding. But going back to what I was going to say, isn't it amazing the viewpoint, we're talking about the way of life, the viewpoint that we've got compared to the modern-day society, whereby you're not allowed to call a paedophile. They're called, what is it, minor attracted now.
Oh, don't.
Let them off.
No.
So that's that. The way of life.
You have to let them off.
They're called minor attracted. And
minor attracted person, pap.
And in our day, it was all clear cut. It was like, bang, 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 look them up. Oh, that's the end of it. But now we have to sit down with them, have a chat and do the profiling and try and understand their situation. And there's no emphasis on the actual criminal activity now. It's all basically they're the victim and you're the actual criminal for actually reporting it in the first place. It seems to have reversed roles from our day. Our day, it was like, bang, 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 in prison, off you go. Now, let the criminal off and it's
your fault. Do you know why there is an element of that? It's because it's been viewed as an addiction. Now, you can perfectly understand there's people out there addicted to drugs, alcohol,
food. Like me.
A lot of addictions are out there. And this is one of them. That's why it's very difficult to fix an addiction. Because there's
Isn't
a chemical imbalance.
You stood up and made account of yourself and took responsibility.
Exactly.
No, indeed. You shouldn't hide behind that addiction.
A lot of these crappy decisions regarding all this kind of stuff, I think, are mostly controlled by people that are aged between a wokey group of anything from 20 and above, which really hacked me off, to left-wing do-gooders aged to about 50, 55, who have got no idea.
Ivory Tower crowd.
And instead of looking at the criminals and taking their side, whether it's drugs or anything else like that, paedophiles, whatever, look at the victim. Who speaks for the victim? And no, an eminent lawyer once said, a criminal barrister once said to me, the only person that gets good voice in this country, he said, trust me, Stuart, he said, are the dead, because the coroner speaks for them. He said, you get robberies, you get this, you get that, you get the other. They're all innocent until proven guilty. That is crap. In the Middle East and in Singapore, where I spent 10 years, the crime rate there is 1%. It's savage. It's 1%. The reason being is you're guilty until you can prove you're innocent, because we are accusing you of doing this. Now tell us how you didn't do it. And when they go to prison, they're god-awful places, even in Dubai. Even now, I know I lost 2 salespeople who got locked off for being drunk. There are nightmares, absolute nightmares. You lose everything, and you're deported, never to go back. Why don't I can pull up that, and I did pull up a pot out there, pull up outside a shop, leave your car running with the air conditioning on, come back out, car's still there. People ask, the more you've got to get savage with these people. When you go to prison, you're in a big yard with thousands of others. You have to fight for your food when they deliver it in the big pots, which is usually chicken and rice. You don't get showered. There are no showers. Toilets are a big trench that's been dug with limited things like toilet paper, if at all. And there's nothing to do all day in the blazing sun. And the people who run these prisons don't care about the prisons, quite rightly, because they're in there for a crime. And you don't want to go back. Over here, as I said earlier, what do? You get a laptop, you get the internet. My God, you get mobile phones to carry on being a paedophile or a trafficking ring or drugs empire. I mean, what are we? Are we mugs? We're paying for this. Are we mugs?
Yeah, Stuart, can I just come back on the term that you use, guilty until you prove your innocence? Yeah. You'd be saying that about the post office scandal, though, couldn't we?
Yeah, you could, quite frankly.
Which is going on at the moment, because sadly, there was lots of people that went to prison because they were assumed to be guilty, but they were never going to be able to prove their innocence, as they've been still fighting today.
Yeah, which is scandalous, absolutely scandalous.
But then isn't that a danger of using that analogy, because you get the many caught up with the few?
Okay, yeah, I think the post office is something that's a little bit different. I mean, basically, if you're arresting the guy, the examples I would give is that I think there's a lot of political shenanigans with this post office business, but that's a separate issue. I think people that are running the post office and who were at the tech company knew there were problems.
Did you one of the prosecuting MPs for the Tory party is actually married to one of the managing directors of Fujitsu? Yeah. That hasn't come out yet.
No. There's all sorts of things. And people are making wrong decisions. I mean, we had the Boris Johnson affair with a party out at 10 Downing Street. An investigation still going on. So far, it's cost us £62 million.
And what will happen? He'll get £100 fine. Whoopie-doo.
Yeah, worst case scenario. And they'll bring him back into politics, which is fine. Man made a mistake. Why don't they turn around and say, that's a party? Don't bullshit us. That is a party. You find £100. Could have been done within 10 hours. I mean, we're not stupid. You get a guy with drugs in his pockets, money in his pockets, the police have monitored him, and he's doing business. He's a drug dealer. Arrest him, put him in court, sentence the son of a bitch, and let him do his time.
Isn't that what happens, though? Because they do have some quick successive, you know?
Yeah, they do. It's not all wrong. It's not all wrong. But some idiot once said to me, I'd rather 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison. Yeah, there is some truth in that. But I'm absolutely amazed. I was caught up in the middle of the Fox. Do you remember the Fox in Leighton Buzzard area?
No. Please elaborate. Some
people, and they've had big manhunt with them, and back in, right, he was sentenced to life. Right, he's up for parole.
Yeah, but life doesn't mean Fox. Life, does it?
What, is there a person called Fox?
He raped about 7 women.
Oh, I see.
He shot the hand off of one of them. He was breaking into houses. I was in the village, that one of the villages he covered, Ethan Reach, back in the day. I actually employed, because I had to go away to work and my wife was in hospital, I actually employed a guy to sit in the house and stay with my 2 stepdaughters because I was worried about leaving them alone.
Wow.
And it was terrible.
The,
there are people that come up and they only do. I mean,
hang on, Stuart. Let me explain.
Found guilty of murder, got 17 years.
Let me explain how it works. How it works. So when you go to court and the judge says, "Yes, you're found guilty. I sentence you to 20 years." 20 years means you're 20 years under the probation office. So they send you to prison. And halfway through your sentence, they will review it to see whether or not you're going to be a risk to society, and then let you out halfway through, subject to the other 10 years being on probation, i.e. you're being monitored and you have to do certain things as you go along. That's when they say you're sentenced to. It doesn't mean to say you're going to prison for that amount of time. It means that you're being sentenced under our supervision for that amount of time. So when people say you're sentenced to 20 years, that means you'll probably end up doing about 8 because the prisons are overcrowded. You've been a good boy, off you go.
So this young man who's just been sentenced to set up to 17 years for murdering a baby.
He'll do about 8 years. It's down to the probation office when they review him about halfway through to see whether or not he's going to be a risk to society. And then they make a judgment as to whether or not they're going to let him out on probation or they're going to
let him in. Come on, Lee. We most know that these people, these liberals on the flipping parole committees and things like that, are a bunch of left-handed bricklayers.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it works.
What's the matter of being a left-handed bricklayer? I don't get that.
I don't know that.
It should be fine. It doesn't matter,
I've got a guy I used to know in Round Table. Unfortunately, his daughter was killed.
Oh,
and she was murdered up in Manchester. And the guy got, I think it was something like 20 or whatever. This kid, drugs, booze, which he took, nobody forced him, he took. Anyway, he killed her. Big thing, upset everybody. They moved from this area back up to Manchester, all the rest of the rigmarole that went on with it. Devastated family, devastated a lot of us. She was a nice girl. And he said to me, "I swear to you that if I'm still breathing the day that guy's released, I'll kill him. Will you look after my family if I do it?" He said, "Because I'll put my hands up, I'm bound to get caught, they'll probably notice me, but when he walks out of prison, I'll kill him." Unfortunately, when the kid walked out of prison, David couldn't kill him because he died of cancer the year before. But he was prepared to kill him. And I've got to be honest, if it was a member of my family, particularly at my time of life, I mean, I'm 850 years old. What have I got left?
Okay.
This comes back to the general, what we're talking about, the way of life.
Yeah.
The way we're viewing things comes back to what I was saying about it's very clear cut in our day. But this day and age, it's more, not sympathetic, but they're more understanding and want to understand the reason why you went out and killed somebody, and they want to feel sympathy for that.
Until it happens to them, mate.
Exactly.
Until it happens to them.
Exactly.
There's too much leniency. You don't want to accept personal responsibility for the perpetrator who committed the crime. It's on their shoulders. They've done the crime. You can't always look for external factors that influence their direction. They still chose to commit the crime. They have to take personal responsibility.
Bill drives a BMW, kills 2 friends. Kills 2 friends and puts herself in a wheelchair. And she's the one who drank. Unless somebody sat on her chest and poured alcohol.
No, exactly. She's choosing to do it. You can't blame external factors. You have to take personal responsibility. Yeah, exactly.
Don't you think the moral standards have gone down because of the family? In our day, we used to have mum, dad, brother, sister, all living under one house. Now you have mum with a different boyfriend, with 2 kids with different fathers who don't have anything to do with them. They're living on the council premises, etc., etc. Expands out. Whereas in our day, it was a family group that stuck together and had high moral standards.
Yeah.
And I think that that's partly of why society is beginning to break down, because there are no standards. No one, as Tony said, no one's accountable for anything, and nothing's being taught to a high sort of level as well.
Well, it's the single mother syndrome or theory, if you want. You can call it a hypothesis, you can call it a theory, whatever. It's a single mother syndrome. We know that, this is some figures from the United States, that there's, I can't remember the exact figure, that if you're born into a single parent house with the mother as the head of the household, you stand black households, I think you stand something like a 60-70% chance of ending up in prison, something like that. If you're born into a, again, black family, single parent, but this time the single parent is a father, there's less than a 2%. There's a 1% chance they're going to end up in prison.
Yeah.
Although, I must caveat that, how many single parent male parents are there in comparison to female single mums?
Do you mean the ones who go to prison and try to get their kids and then they can't?
No. The disproportionate number. I'd love to see the figures where they got this from, because you're talking single mums.
I've got an idea, Tony. You want to see the figures? Look it up. Take some responsibility. There we go.
You provided the data.
Take some responsibility. You look it up.
You've made a claim. You need to back it up. Take responsibility on that claim.
The truth is waiting for you to discover it. Go out and be a hero, Tony.
If you make a claim, you've got to back it up with evidence.
I think you're claiming that I'm wrong. Prove it. What's the next thing on your wheel?
Okay, let's do the wheel. We've got a few more minutes. We've done this topic to death. Right. Sorry?
There's two sides to a coin, mate. You made the statement. You got to back it up as well as saying.
No, Tony and I have got an ongoing issue about that. No, he's always saying that. So he's like, it's about time he went out and because I'm always coming. Every time I come up with the facts, if I'd done that 10 times, why would the 11th time be wrong? He should go and do something about it. Let's spin the wheel.
We are again. This is unfortunately, because of the time, this will have to be our final topic. So
this sounds like the wheel of death to me.
Let's have a look here. Where are we on?
Politics, because we're
here. We go. It's
not again.
Relationship. We've covered this one.
We've done that.
We've sort of morphed into it, haven't we? Okay, let's hide that one and we'll spin it again. Let's go again. Right, let's do another one, because we covered that anyhow.
Even families is more or less relationships thing, isn't it? So
okay. Yeah. Oh, travel?
Travel.
Really? Travel. Okay.
Whoa.
Travel. Let's talk about travel.
What's there to talk about? We can travel now.
In a minute, surely, and then we'll do another subject.
Another subject. Boring.
I think travel. That from the 70s, countries have adapted to the English way of life just for the tourism. Look at all the islands in Spain and how the British have ruined them. From the 70s. The 70s, we never used to have all these party islands where all our teenagers used to go over there and wreck the joint, to the point where they're now being thrown off the islands, aren't they? Because, what is it? Ibiza's now closing all the clubs at 12 o'clock. You're not allowed to drink after 12 o'clock. You've got to be sensible over there. If anyone's caught drunk in the street, they've been arrested and deported. They've literally had enough of the way of
English. The debauchery was over the top, though, wasn't it? That was why. I mean, you can go on holiday and have fun, but I mean, it was just... I mean, I've been. I mean, I'll be honest. I was one of the people there and some
back
of the...
in the
sites,
place.
Sorry?
Trash in the place.
No, I wasn't trashing it, but you would see other people... I mean, literally do anything. You're having sex in the street. You're being drunk. You're urinating on stuff. Honestly, it was ridiculous. I mean, you see that in UK high streets today to some degree, but they just brought it over there. And obviously the Spanish people were fed up, as Lee has rightly said. We've been sort of brought our rubbish over there because the holidays were cheap. People could could afford to go, and any denomination of society could afford to go, and they did. And so they brought their ways over there and infected those islands. And you're spot on, Lee. It the travel, because it's to a penny, let's be honest, it's cheaper now to travel, despite the fact we've come out of Europe. It's still easy to move around. We're, using your words, Lee, infected a lot of these places and brought down their standards, which is such a shame, which is a shame.
It's amazing. When you think about it, it must be a lot easier to travel now, because you get all these people heaving up onto the British coastline, hopping out of ships and everything. And they don't have tickets, they don't have passports, don't have visas, they don't have anything. And then they wind up in a hotel. And
I don't think for 1 minute, mate, when they spun the wheel and Tony pulled up travel, he was talking about illegal immigration.
Yeah, well, still travel.
There's far better places than Britain that you want to go to.
There's what? If you ask those illegals, I think they'll tell you that actually...
Not more generous, Lee.
There we go.
Better places, but not more generous.
Keith, I mean, basically, how can you put an illegal into it? Well, excuse me, you say that, Stuart, and I'll come back to what I was about to say earlier. What about what the New York mayor of New York?
Yeah,
it's the mayor of New York.
Yeah. It's handing them, how much is it, $5,000 or something when they show up? $5,000. He's handing them, they get a credit card. It's got $5,000 on it.
Yeah, you see, and he's not stupid. They rock up in New York, right? He gives them $5,000, so he's a great guy. Then they'll go immediately. Remember, these are penniless, poor people, and they'll immediately go and spend it in New York. He's not stupid, is he?
Yeah, it's kind of stupid, because that money is taxpayers' money.
But
it's reinvested, it's like infrastructure.
Money, not New Yorkers' money.
Yeah.
Is what money?
It's a national.
I thought it was New York's money. Everybody.
He's only worried about New York.
No, I said I thought it was New York's money. I didn't know it was federal money.
No, it's the money that these cities pay and these states pay. They get a contribution, like we do in Milton Keynes, get a contribution from central government. And it's all down to budgeting. And it'll say we've got 5,000 immigrants here a month. All give them £5,000 because we can afford it out of all the money that we've got together. And they'll spend it in New York.
Who's going to so it's like an infrastructure project. They're like investing back in their own economy. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's one way to look at it. It's kind of weird to me. You've got illegal activity.
Back to the central government and said, oh, last year we spent 88 million. Can we have 100 million for next year? And the government says, well, yeah, obviously. You need more money, inflation and all the rest of it. That's politics. That's the way the world goes round.
That's insane.
Traveling in our day is the same as traveling in here. You got bike, car, bus. You got aeroplanes, ships, and trains.
It's still the same.
I was going to say, the trains are still as bad as ever.
Yeah.
They haven't improved. They've been privatised in the meantime.
Singapore, when I used to have to go to school in Kuala Lumpur, which was 400 miles north of Singapore, we used to go on a one-track train right through the jungle and bench seats, and we were a day and a night on it.
Mm-hmm.
Each carriage was looked after. And it was like third class in the old days, you know, where you had no windows virtually, and you just sat on the bench. And the guy used to walk up and down and say, stay in there, stay in there.
So are we better off now in terms of travel then compared to...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we can say that one. How are we doing for time?
You haven't got people like me flying you around.
Can we go over DEI people
are going to be flying you around. Do you know what DEI is? Diversity, equity, and what's the I again?
And inclusion.
Inclusion.
Right? Where they've got a program in, I believe it's JFK. Was it JFK I told you, Tony? What was the name of the...
It wasn't JFK, no.
They've got this program.
Delta Airlines.
Yeah. There's an airport that has put into place a program where they get baggage handlers to become pilots.
I don't think that's a problem. You're giving people aspirational targets. They go, I can one day be a pilot. That's not a bad thing per se, but they've got to then qualify and meet and tick all the boxes in order to be a pilot. You can't just get a baggage handler one day and tomorrow they're a pilot.
Having been a commercial pilot for 25 years, I would like to see how many of those baggage handlers, and some of them do have degrees. I knew baggage handlers at Heathrow with degrees and at Luton with degrees. And if they're intelligent enough to be given the chance before, they're never given the chance. They wouldn't look at them. I'm a baggage handler. Well, in that case, then there's no way you're flying an aeroplane.
Yeah.
Flying an aeroplane is the same like driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine when you was a kid, you sat in a car, your dad's driving, smoking a cigarette, checking the speedometer, indicators, looking around, talking to your mum, changing gear, pressing pedals and everything. It was mind-blowing. But when you know how to do it, it's easy.
Mm.
You sit anybody in an aircraft, you can teach them to fly. I can teach anybody to get an aircraft off the ground in 40 minutes.
No, getting off the ground is one thing. How about getting back safely? That's the bit that bothers me.
Yeah, taking an aircraft off the ground is the easiest thing in the world. All you do is apply the power like you do in a car. And when it reaches a certain speed, it's designed to lift. Putting it back, different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
But you can get a baggage handler who's qualified for a degree. If he goes through the exams and the processes and he's taught, he can fly an aircraft. Why not?
I think
they said women can do it.
I think Tayo is sort of saying, Stuart. Yeah. But what Tayo is alluding to, it's almost like the people who could qualify based on their ability are being excluded. Purely by people hitting a target or a demographic that means you must get these people to be pilots.
No, they won't risk that. They can't risk that.
But they are, apparently.
They are doing it.
I'm amazed if that was true, but Tayo says they are.
Are nearly as bad as the CAA. Their training programs, they won't put somebody in charge. No airline will allow... And the Pilots Association and the FAA will not allow anybody to fly a £260 million jet with 400 people on board unless everybody that's working with that student are totally convinced that he's qualified to fly. And for the first 4 years, he'll be flying as first officer underneath the captain. They will not let him do it.
Yes.
And believe me, even in America, you fail one of the exams, and the pass mark is usually 85% plus, right? You fail one exam, you can go back and take them all again.
Yeah, I was going to say, exams these days aren't even based on getting the amount of questions right. My friend's daughter just went to a quite famous university, and she said, oh, don't worry, I'm going to get an A in this class. And he was like, why is that? Because they take the average score, and that's going to be the grade C, and anyone above that gets marked accordingly. It's not on based on how many questions you get right anymore. It's based on the percentage of the people in the class and where the actual benchmark they set. So therefore, in theory, you could have somebody that's completely stupid flying an airplane.
No, I don't believe that. I think the baseline can't be below a certain threshold. It can't be we've got four people in the exam and all of them got zero except for one person got one. Oh, the average is one.
In my day, when I was under training, one of the exams was 100 questions, right? And you had to get 85% right or above, otherwise you failed it.
Yeah, correct. And that's how it should be.
Right?
Yeah.
On other exams, you were asked specific things like, what would you do if you were on a final approach? This, and this happened. How would you plan a flight trip, leaving at takeoff at 8 o'clock in the morning and going to Tenerife? Right? And the first thing we'll do from a dark
bacon sandwich and coffee.
Yay! I'm with Gary.
And people would start off, and you'd look at it. I saw some of the papers and the answers. That's when I was an instructor. And they start off by saying, well, the first thing I would do is I'd climb up the stairs because it's a dark start, which means everything's off. That's not the first thing you do when you approach an aircraft when you're doing a dark start.
Look out for aircrafts.
Sorry?
look out for other aircrafts coming across your path. That'd be the first thing.
No, because it's stood there on the apron, mate. You don't get too many aircraft buzzing around. So what you do is you look under both wings. Do you know why you look under both wings?
See if there's a leak.
Yep, to see if fuel, oil, or anything is leaking, and to see if the tyres are pumped up. Because if they're not,
tyres,
you're not going to apply for an airline pilot now. I've got a question, right?
Right, it's gentlemen.
Like, it's like the theory of pilotless aeroplanes. Never happened.
Mm.
Not in my life, anyway.
No, indeed.
I just want to finish before Tony takes over.
We need to finish, unfortunately.
Here's a quote. I'm going to quote. The Delta pilots took an unprecedented step in passing a vote of no confidence in Delta for issues that have impacted customers and pilots due to DEI. Close quote. This is Delta Airlines pilots, June 30th, 2022. I'll post the link.
And so they basically, so what, if you summarize that, they've complained because Delta Airlines have prioritized DEI recruitment.
Yeah.
EI, sorry, yes, recruitment over and above safety and proper processes.
Stuart was talking about exams. It's very easy, okay? A whole bunch of people take exams. You take the top 10. You don't care what they look like. You don't care what their gender is. You don't care what their sexual orientation is. You just take the top 10 because those are the ones that are the most competent. So if you're taking number one, number two, and then you're taking number 15, number 20, and number 25, because those fit your boxes, you're not obviously taking the most competent. Maybe they're competent. Maybe they've passed the exams, but they're not the most competent. So if you know that your surgeon came through on this kind of a program, it's not that he was the most competent, it was just that he basically maybe scraped a pass or something. How confident would you be to go under the knife? It's the same thing. I don't want to get onto a plane. I don't want to get into a plane flown by someone that I don't have confidence in is the best possible pilot they could put up there in the cockpit.
And you always got the good thing about when you're learning to fly, and this is only one particular industry, but the good thing you've got is you've got an experienced flyer looking at you all the time. And an experienced flyer will not pass the responsibility on and sign you off if he thinks that he's not a 100%. It's not one person, it's three got to do it. Mm. When you do a general flying test, you're looking at three people. Ground exams, ground knowledge, aircraft knowledge, and the one who flies with you. They won't sign you off if you do one thing wrong because they don't want you crashing an aircraft with 300 people on it into the ground.
Indeed. Indeed.
It's not in them.
I've stopped a few years ago because I'd seen everything. I'd seen every air crash. I used to follow the channel that talks about air crashes, and I forgot what it's called now. And this quite often, I can't remember what this particular one was. I think it was Latin America. The pilot had issues. From airline to airline, he'd been sacked due to incompetence, and he still finally ended up killing people and himself.
Those situations happened. I mean, I remember the one you're doing. It's called Air Crash Investigations.
Yeah.
I watch every one. I've got it on record. I watch them all, and I get the notams and I read the reports because it's my hobby. Aviation has always been my hobby, and you get things like that and. And you think, how on earth did that happen? Why did they employ a pilot? And I remember a pilot that was flying for Kenya, Air Kenya.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one too.
He'd been sacked by two airlines, right, and failed miserably on rechecks. One captain wrote, this man should not be in charge of an aircraft, and he crashed it. How they got through? The person responsible for crew maintenance at an airline should be held accountability. He signed him off.
Mm.
And everybody that's involved in signing that pilot off should have been prosecuted, probably indeed, for murder. Mm. That European pilot, do you remember last year before, flew the aircraft straight down?
Yeah.
German Wings or something it was called. Wasn't last year, a couple of years ago.
He had mental issues though, didn't he?
The psychologists and things like that understand what he was going through. Mm. Evidently, he was going through a lot of emotional problems. Why wasn't he grounded?
Yeah, indeed.
He got through. He covered it up too well.
Mm.
It's the human error element.
Right. We could talk at length. Unfortunately, we're getting close to the top of the hour. I want to ask our all our guests. As we spoke about travel, we still haven't touched on, was it better in our day or is it better now? One quick sentence from everybody, and then we'll have to sort of end the show, unfortunately. Lee, has travel improved, and did you travel more when you were younger or now in this day and age?
Going abroad, it's got better. Local transport is still as bad as it ever was.
Okay. Gary?
Travel's definitely better than it was before. The world's smaller now, isn't it, because of knowledge and our ability to be able to move around much better. So I think it's improved.
Improved. Brilliant. Stuart?
Yeah, I think probably for the reasons that Gary have just said, I think it's probably better now because you get out and about a lot more. It ain't perfect, but it beats the hell out of sitting at home all the time.
Yeah, indeed. And Tayo, final words from you?
Of course it's much worse now. I don't remember potholes the way we've got them in the UK. I got potholes on my street. One looks like somebody buried someone and just didn't finish the job. That's what it looks like. You just can't understand how... I mean, when you see a bus swerving to get out of the way of a pothole, you know you're talking a major pothole, and it's been there for like 6 months or something.
I actually did put a joke up about this very subject. I said, if we get invaded, I hope it's by the Romans, because they'll fix our roads, because we can't do it.
Yeah, I remember reading that. It was a good one.
Indeed. Right, gentlemen, unfortunately, we have reached the end of the show. Have you enjoyed coming onto our 200th episode, Lee?
As always, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure arguing with Tao.
Brilliant having you on. Gary and you, have you enjoyed
us? Thank you for the invite.
That's all right.
Appreciated it.
Brilliant. And Stuart, as ever.
Yeah, as always, it's just as good fun as it was last time, my friend. It's great to meet Gary and Lee as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant. We've loved having you on again. You've contributed to an excellent fun
Keep
show.
Keep up the good work, Toyo. Keep up the good work, mate.
You'll see us in the future, by the way. You'll have his hands around my throat.
Yeah, I think eventually it'll be like it's going to happen.
It's going to be a publicity photo, hopefully. That's all it'll be.
In which case, I'm assuming he's going to be guilty until proven innocent.
innocent!
I know the prison officers. It's all right, mate. I'll get you looked after.
Absolutely. Good man. Good man.
Brilliant. Right. With that, unfortunately, however, we have reached the end of the show for another week.